Back in the building tonight's guest is my friend Paddington Dave.
David Harrington. Dave? This is long overdue, Mike.
Yeah, it is. David Harrington, good Tewksbury guy. Paddington the Bear? I met Paddington the Bear in 2011, 12. Yeah, around there. So, Justin, did I tell you how I met Dave Paddington? Well, Dave Harrington, but they call him Paddington the Bear. So I was in Tewksbury Detox.
Yep.
And Dave was in there, and Dave's, he's just a great kid. You know, he's not a kid he's going to start trouble or anything. And he's sitting there in the seat in front of the TV, and I'm sitting a couple of seats behind him. And this kid comes in, and he's got like a wife beater on. He's kind of in decent shape, you know, like he just got out of jail or something. And he sees Paddington in the chair right there. And I had just met Dave. And this kid takes like a running start and just sucker blast him in the side of the head and then like scrambles out of the room. We're like, and he gets up. He's like, what the fuck was that about, right? So his other friend come in, Eric, right?
Nickerson.
Yeah.
Choked him out quick.
Yeah. So this guy, Eric Nickerson comes in and goes, what happened? Like this kid just blasted him in the side of his head. And he's like, who? And right when we said it, the kid come walking back in the room and this another Tewksbury kid, Eric Nickerson, snatched him with one hand by the throat. It was like, you know, not many people, you know.
Eric's a big boy.
Yeah, you know, he's got this fucking, you know, he snatched the dude by the throat and just pinned him up against the wall. And he was squeezing hard. The kid's like trying to get his hand up his neck. And he's like, you know, you like suckering fucking, you know, someone who don't fucking fight this and that. Come on, let's go. I'll drag you in the bathroom right now. And the kid looked like he saw a ghost. And I never forgot that, you know. And
you missed the best part, though. I landed into four pregnant mothers on methadone. That's where I landed on. They were sitting on the end of the table. And they were looking for lawsuits and such.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They were.
Oh,
they,
yeah, I might have been
they
too.
They realized they weren't getting much, and that was it. That was the fun part of it, though.
Yeah, so that was my introduction to Dave Harrington. And since then, I got to know him, and we have a lot of mutual friends, a lot of Tewksbury guys. The person I named my sober house after, Kyle Gianelli, rest in peace, Kyle. He was a good friend of Kyle's and Jimmy Dodd and Justin Halloran and Kyle's family, Christian and Frank. Who else? Matty Paraso is no longer with us. Eric Nickerson, Dana Nickerson, right?
Yep. Dana's no longer
with us either. A bunch of good kids from Tewksbury who I was either locked up with or in most of them I was locked up with, but or in you know detoxes and everything, and a few of them are doing good, few of them are no longer here. Dave has weathered the storm himself. Jimmy's doing good. Justin's doing good. Justin just got back from Turkey. Did you see that?
I seen him post some pictures from international.
You might need the trip to Turkey. I need it.
I need a passport.
You got the bangs coming from the. You're holding on.
I travel enough. Just usually Orlando's where I tend
But you
to
know
go.
What Turkey's all about, right?
Oh, the hairline thing.
Yeah,
I could use one of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The hair transplant thing.
Yeah, that's where the spot's at for that. Definitely.
I heard it's painful. I mean, I had a bunch of dental work. If I could do that, I'm sure I could do that. But I heard they put like a gazillion needles in your head. Do you ever hear about this, Justin? Yeah, it's intense, right? I heard it's tough. But Yeah, who knows? You know,
maybe I heard 9 out of 10 stars over 40 got it. So you see on TV. So.
Oh, speaking of that, Dave is you know, knocking around somewhat of an actor, right?
Been one, been called one, been called worse, but yeah, I've done some acting in my day.
Yeah, you've he's been an extra. Do you got your SAG card or anything?
I'm eligible. I got my Taft Hartleys and such. You know, done some background work. Fortunate that some people you grew up with did a movie back in the early 2000s and just ran with it. Met a lot of good people when they filmed The Fighter and bounced around for years before I started selling more iPhones than anybody east of the Mississippi. What I've been doing for the last, you know, decade. Started with Obama phones and now I'm into, you know, media, stuff like that. But yeah, I would like to get back into it, but you know, got a real job, unfortunately.
Yeah, when you were slanging iPhones, it was in, where were you, in Halfway House? Where were you then?
The Obama phone started in the Charlestown Recovery House, but Sprint store. You know much, that's where you got your Snapchat start. Don't act like you don't know where
working out. I started.
You and Dickie. You got Dickie on my phone plan, you know? I had the legend on my phone plan.
I started going in. And seeing Dave, I call him the Sprint guy. And you know, back then, before everyone, you know, when they'd see me coming, I got my phone in my hand. Now they're like, hey, are you recording? You know, but back then I used to get off a lot of good stuff when I was talking to people. And they had no idea what I was doing. So Dave, I got some great videos of Dave where he'd just be talking.
Uncensored footage.
Uncensored footage. And then... You know, then he called me up one day and he's like, you know, yelling at me a little, what the fuck? Fucking everybody, you know, everybody's coming up to him and saying, you know, there was videos of him that I had uploaded online. And I, you know, one of them, when he's walking by the truck and I got the Hall & Oates song playing, Sarah went a little crazy. That was a good one, Dave. But yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you grew up, how you ended up, you know, on the wrong side of the track, so to speak, for a while, and where you are now, what you're doing now.
Well, I grew up in Tewksbury, like you said, born and raised. You know, I've spent the majority of my life there. You know, I spent a month or so, probably in about 10 states on vacation or just dipping and dabbing. So, seen a lot of different places around the country. Grew up going to school with the kids you named. You know, out of all of them, I'm probably the only one not to do adult time, and I was the only one who did a lot of committed time as a juvenile, which definitely is a rare statistic. You get caught in the system early, you usually 100%. Stay in it.
Yeah.
So I remember a judge woke me up when I was like 21, and he said, you know, you getting committed multiple times and not doing adult time by your 21st birthday, there's probably about 2% in the Commonwealth of committed youth that don't go but do adult time. And it was a wake-up call, you know. Jail is no place. You know, I don't know how my friends did the time they did, you know, years on the installment plan and such, you know. I had my own struggles on the street. You know, luckily, you know, I don't play that game anymore. But, you know, just grew up like everybody else, loving sports. Predominantly white community, north of Boston, suburb, a little different than most, you know. My family lived there for a generation before me, so I'm from Tewksbury. I'm not from the city. I don't claim to be from the city. My family's from Cambridge and Somerville, but not me. I'm straight Tewksbury. Never was one of those people who said, I'm from here, I'm from there. I'm from Tewksbury, so it's easy to identify me, you know? So, you know, it's just how it is. Just like
go Redmond.
You're from around here, yeah, Redmond. We won't change our name, no matter you know what liberals try to say. It's going to be Redmond forever. You know.
I got my Shawshank Tech guys, though. I got to give them, you know.
Yeah, Tewksbury goes there too.
Those are my guys over there in the Tech. They just won the team title in the States the other day, and you know, they did it for Mark Donovan. Remember our guy, Mark Donovan? Didn't you know Mark Donovan?
I think he was a wrestling coach.
He was a wrestling coach.
A lot of Donovans.
But yeah, there's a lot of Donovans in Tewksbury. But he was a god in Billerica too. And he was just a great, great guy, man. What a great, great fucking guy. So that was awesome. They did that for him. But all right, back to you, your Tewksbury. You worked in construction, I heard?
I worked fully remote.
Yeah.
For 5 years. I got soft hands. I'm not going to lie. No construction for me.
I can't tell.
You know, digital nomad. It's pretty weird waking up every day and working from home.
Do you wear the helmet at home when you work?
I do, because I want to act like I'm in the union like everybody else. You know what I mean? So the closest union I've ever joined is, like you said, SAG union. You know what I mean? Kyle used to give me more shit about that growing up than anybody.
Yeah.
He used to torture me about the SAG stuff because we'd be out, you know, just getting mangled. And then he's like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to Adam Sandler set. He thought I was delusional and making it up, I think, on coke paranoia or something for like the first month. He'd be like, you're going to leave now? Yeah, yeah, I'm going to Water Whiz to shoot the grown-ups. It's like, what the fuck's the matter with you? You know? And but yeah, no construction. A lot of blue-collar workers out where I live. Not in my family. My mother's with somebody who's just retired from the Carpenters Union. So I got much respect, but... Nah, I'm in the sales. The only thing I know how to do is sell. Buy for a dollar, sell for two, hopefully three. That's all I know.
So what do you do now? I know you were always, like I said, you're always selling the cell phones. I bring people there. I took Dickie Eklund down there to get a phone. And then, you know, that turned into a fucking whole nother thing. But, yeah, I used to love going, seeing you in the Sprint store. And, you know, he became known as Sprint guy because I was always putting him on my thing. And do you still work for Sprint? Who do you work for now?
Sprint doesn't exist anymore. They were bought by T-Mobile.
Yeah.
I have started rumors that you own the last Sprint store on Plain Street. But I work for a media giant. I'd rather keep it nameless. But I do work for one of the larger corporations out there. It's really neither here nor there. But I'm on the smaller end of the scale. You know, I'm a small fish in a very big pond, you know?
Yeah.
Unlike where I grew up with, in the streets, it was more of being a big fish in a small pond. So it's a big transition, you know? And just the way the world is nowadays, you got to watch what you say. You got to always keep it moving because people take things out of context and... you know, a lot of liberal crybabies out there.
It's definitely still that way, but you like to think, you know, it's you know, the tide's turning.
The tide has turned. Trump won in Tewksbury. I'll tell you that. Massachusetts.
You think so?
He did. He won by 500 votes, and I was one of them. And I just said it.
I love it. I love it, Dave. And did he win in Tewksbury?
He won in Tewksbury, and I posted it, and I got a lot of backlash.
You still get backlash. And, you know, someone, the other day I was talking to someone, a friend of mine who's he's a hardcore lib, and I was at the Bruins. No, I was at the USA Canada game, and the cameraman came up to me in the hallway, and he's like, "Bean shooter." He's like, "Where are you sitting?" I go, "Why?" He's like, "I want to put you on the Jumbotron and stuff." So I'm like, "Yeah, right." It's all in my seat. So I go up, and I was with a kid, Timmy King, good kid. He sells sports memorabilia and stuff, mostly cards. And I was sitting with him, and the kid kept coming up with the camera. So when they focus on me, you know, I'm like doing the Trump dance around, and the kid's gonna make America great hat. And a friend of mine who's from a pretty well-known band out of Boston who's a hardcore liberal, I won't mention his name, he texts me maggots, like M-A-G-G-A-T-S, you know, like, we go back and forth, but he's so hardcore. And he, you know, he wants to yell at you like just what that side does, how stupid we are. You don't know, you know, you're too dumb to realize, you know, da-da-da. Like, listen, and this is what I said to him. That guy, like I said, after 3.5-4 years, say this guy just ran this country into the ground. And who knows? Maybe this guy will, right? I can't see the future. I like the guy. You see him throw Zelensky out of the White House today?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So obviously he's nuts, but he's got balls. He says what he's feeling. You never see nothing like this guy before in your life. I mean, what a comeback to come back and win and be president again after 4 years off with everybody trying to lock him up, kill him, put him in jail. I think you got to bleep out the word kill, right? Instagram will probably, I mean, YouTube, right? But, and you got to, even if you hate him so much, you got to tip your cap to the guy. I would if I was on the other side. I'd be like, guy's a winner, you know? And, you know, maybe all these, you know, political pundits and these libs and everything, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe this guy's a madman and things are going to go down the tubes. And like I said to him, hey, I'm far from an expert. I can't even argue with you about politics. I don't know enough. I said, but I don't think you are either. And you know what? Get back to me in 3.5 years.
But unfortunately, one of my hobbies and things I actually went to school with for was political science. I mean, I did do a little short stint in Boston University. I definitely didn't belong there. I remember Halloran and Cimino and them all came out and almost in my dorm, almost got tossed out. Speaking to him, it was just funny. I was living with two guys from Kuwait and Egypt. It was a culture shock for me. You know what I mean? I was from DYS to a top-notch university. But what I know is it's what America needs right now, a wake-up call, because the Uber drivers, the people from other countries are telling me things got to change.
Yeah.
How is that racism? I'm talking, I don't drive. I Uber everywhere. People who have been in this country 2-3 years telling me it's out of control. You don't want socialism. They grew up in it. They lived it.
Yeah.
Every day I was hearing this. You know, and that's when it was just the wheels were turning. All through COVID, I'm working in lockdown, but then I'm going to Florida.
And they'll let you
Depox.
Yeah.
I'm living life.
Yeah, DeSantis.
Back home,
DeSantis,
my whole family caught COVID during Thanksgiving. They were mad I went down there. They're telling us up here to rat on your neighbors if they have people over. My whole family catches COVID. I went to a theme park and I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know?
I know people were telling me, you got COVID and I'm out. Quar, what are you doing? Quarantine. Like, I had friends, man. I'm like, no. What am I going to do? Lock myself in a bathroom? Like, no. I mean, I feel, you know, I was a little sick. You know, I had a headache for like fucking, I don't know what it was, like a week straight. I'm like, something ain't right. You know, I think it ran through everybody. And that whole thing, man, you know, that whole thing where like people are trying to forget about it. And I fought it from day one. I think it's in my nature. I've always been, you know, I don't know if it's from prison or DYS or when I was a kid or authority in school. But when you told me to do something, I always like resisted. Thank God. You know, I'm glad I didn't get that shot from day one. You know, and then they're bribing people and giving them market basket gift cards, all the homeless people where I live. I'm like, whoa, this is deep now. Something ain't right. You know, I knew it. You know, I refused. And they tried everything, you know.
Vax-a-millions. Do you like that one? The lottery they had. Vax-a-millions. You can't even make that shit up.
Vax-a-millions. Oh, don't you live with your father? Oh, how old's your father? Oh, do it for him. Oh, don't you travel there? Well, now you can't fly. And, you know, they come in on every angle with me. And I, you know, I was just bobbing and weaving, you know, slipping and sliding, Dave. And I refused to do it, you know. Did you get the shot?
Absolutely not. Good. I didn't need to. I work from home.
Worried.
But I'll tell you right now, my father got it. And, you know, I never caught COVID. I was lucky. But my poor father has a heart condition and he caught it. But he got sicker from when the third vaccine shot booster he got. I almost watched him die. And I'm not a COVID denier. I'm not saying the shot was bad, but it got him sick. And it scared the shit out of me, you know, because, you know, he's 70. Dude's never done nothing wrong. Unlike me, he never put substances in his body. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't do nothing. And I was scared it was going to take him out. And I didn't get vaccinated, but I didn't understand how me getting vaccinated is going to stop me from giving it to somebody. That's what I didn't understand. If you got it, you're going to give it to somebody.
Yeah.
So I just didn't understand it. And Fauci, he's a little weasel. He has been messing things up since HIV, you know. It's fact, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm someone that like never valued education until I went to DYS. One of the people in Worcester Gym gave me a book on Frederick Douglass and how he wasn't allowed to read. And that was the first book I read cover to cover. And I just became a prolific reader. And I mean, I'm not educated to the point where I have a master's degree in that. I dropped out of college. You know, my grammar's poor. I get it, but I'm no idiot. And I know when the fix is in, and the fix was in. People were dying, but people die in this country all the time.
Yeah, and they were, you know, labeling it. It was just the whole thing.
I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, it was bad, and so many people got hurt, and so many people pulled off scams and got loans. Just the whole thing, you know. And I feel like they were already prepping us for another one. You know, I mean, I'm not this big conspiracy theorist guy. Like, sometimes it gets so big where you're like, yeah, it kind of sounds almost foolish, right? They're going to start another one, right? I mean, who the fuck would, but, you know, then you start hearing stuff and you're like, they wanted everybody scared and they got everybody scared. I mean, people were attacking people without masks on. You know, and dumping buckets. There was so much crazy stuff going on with
but
that.
The masks didn't work.
No.
The only ones that worked, no one had. It was crazy. It was insanity. I remember that video of me going viral, right? And people were talking shit on it saying, but the fresh air because I had the mask down. No, you couldn't go in stores without a mask at that time.
I know.
That was peak COVID. I had it around my neck because I was walking near my neighborhood. You know, and I'm like, nah, I didn't play that.
You know how many times I had to walk back to the car? You go in the store, like, come on, buddy. Like, you know. I mean, I don't get cigarettes, but, you know, run into your pack of smokes, anything.
Pay for gas,
no,
whatever.
No, I can't, you know. And then you're in the restaurants and the people get up over the nose and they're putting it down and eating it, putting it back. And I'm like, is it me? I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm in banana land here. And, you know, I remember a big editorial in the newspaper and it said, stop whining, wear a mask. And I put it on my Snapchat saying, you know, I'll wear a mask and I'm banging your mother's mom. And I put it on my Instagram and I think that got taken down. But so many people would come at me like, dude, they're just, you know, like I was this, you know, anti-vaxxer, anti-masker. Like, you know, I was a problem. And I don't know. I was looking at it like, this is bananas. But yeah, thank God. But getting back to that, you know, today Trump threw Zelensky out. Last week, Tom Holman, the border czar. Did you see what he said about Boston?
Yeah, he's coming for us. You know, we're not complying. I mean, people need to understand, we live in the greatest country in the world because it has laws. Coming from someone like myself, that should mean a lot. I didn't take much to laws. Like I said, I was in jail by the time I was 16. But there's rules. There's ways that people have to operate. For me, it comes my family, my neighborhood, my state, my country. Man. You know, people that are real people protect the weak. You know, that's what got me the worst mad about COVID. Protect the weak. Protect the vulnerable. Forget about everything else. You know, that's it. Straight up. It's like the old people, the weak people, the people in facilities, everything else, you know, it is what it is. Life goes on. And society, same way. We can't have some people can get away with everything and everybody else got to get held accountable. You tax some people, you don't tax people. We have the greatest country in the world. And people will talk trash because I just said that. Yes, I believe America is the greatest place in the world. Why else do people come from all over the world to come here? I've been being told that my whole life whenever I travel from people from other countries. You are God blessed by living in America and being born in America. It's like hitting the lottery. And I feel like being from Massachusetts, it's the same way. Even though I don't agree with the people who represent us as the governor, the mayor of Boston at all. But you know what? It's the greatest state in the greatest country in the world.
Let's fucking go, Paddington. Let's go. But yeah, I know. Why do we... I almost feel like we're hit so bad. Like, I have a 16-year-old daughter in high school, and I remember I'm like... Because she's been coming home since she was in seventh grade telling me what they're teaching her every day. And it's fucking bananas, you know? And I let her make up her own mind. I mean, and she has her own opinions. I don't tell her, you know. But, you know, I state my opinions, but not too much with her when she was little. I let her make up her own decisions, but some of the stuff she'd tell me, and thank God she's got common sense. She'd be like, she had one teacher, and she kept saying that this teacher saying her mother had to sit on the back of the bus and this and that. She's like, every day, like everything, you know, we read about is either trans or it's black or this. She goes, they don't speak. And then she goes, my friends say I'm cool for a white kid or something. You know, this was when she was younger. And like, and I'm like, well, that ain't cool. You saying that? What do you mean for a white kid? Like, we gotta, you know, it's like, it's fucking bananas, the school system. And she be telling me, and she kept telling me about this one teacher. And then I go see the teacher towards the end of the year, and the teacher was white.
Of course. That's who says it.
Dude, my head exploded. Always. I'm like, wait a minute. She's saying her mother had to sit on the back of the bus? I'm picturing this, you know, old. I'm like, wait, her mother? You know what I mean? I mean, how?
No, because the people they're supposedly protecting are the... I would never talk like that. It's always a suburban, liberal white woman who's talking out of touch, or a white man who never had a girlfriend and just wants to bully these people. You know what I mean? It's disgusting. Because you know what? I have a black boss and my boss has a black woman boss. And they're the greatest people I know. They don't talk like that, but the liberals will make you think that,
it's not them, it's the white. It's the white.
Yeah, it's craziness. It's insanity. It's insanity. You know what I mean? And you know what? I don't get it. I don't try to get it. But like I said, for me, I try to treat every person, regardless of what they are, with respect. And it starts with my family. Then it goes to my neighborhood, my state, and my country. You know, I'm no perfect person by no means, but... The only person I've really done wrong to is myself and my family by doing wrong to myself. I'm not a saint, but if you don't like me, fuck you. You have no reason not to. you know?
Yeah.
Because I never did nothing to you. You know, and my life wasn't always like that, but I can honestly say, I remember my nono when he died, this priest went to give him his last rites, and he asked him for his, to see if he had any sins he wanted to confess. And he said, "Father, for the first time in my life, I have no sins." And I believe that man, my great-grandfather, Peter Celli, went to his death with no sins. Maybe it was only a month, a week, a day, but that time, that man didn't sin. You know what I mean? And I hopefully someday can emulate that.
Old,
you know,
Italian,
I mean?
Gentleman?
Yep. From the old country. You know, I'm half Irish, half Italian. Mixed up totally. I would just say I'm just American when people ask, because I know real Irish and real Italian, and that's not me.
My friend would say, no, and nana. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's how that is. It's a naughty, no, everything like that, though. But I don't speak the language. I speak more Spanish than Italian. Yeah. I don't speak much Spanish either.
I don't know who's dying without any sins on their fucking record, but if that man was
for
like
a day, for a day he might have, though. That day is what I'm saying. He was around his family, and he treated everyone, you know what I mean? All the people around him, right down to me.
No, I mean, the guy was obviously a fucking straight shooter. I'm not you know, saying he wasn't. I'm just saying that's a tough assignment to look up
to. Tough assignment to look up to. You're right.
I was out of that category by probably the age of 9, you know what I mean? But Paddington, I love it. I like it. I like how passionate you are about this stuff. I didn't, like, this morning he called me up and he goes, "Hey, there's some things, you know, we can't talk about." And I'm like, wait a minute. I've never really got a call. Like, you know, I always say if someone's uncomfortable, like if someone's coming on and they're, you know, something going on, I'll say, if you don't like something, you know, my guy will cut it right out. I'm not here to fucking sandbag anyone or fucking make anyone look like an asshole or do anything like that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, well, you know, and he talked for like 2 minutes and it was like Kamala Harris, word salad. I said, wait a minute. I've been listening to you.
I was pretty bad.
I was listening to you for 2 minutes now, and I have no idea what the fuck you just said to me. He's like, well, what are we going to talk about? I said, Dave, I don't go on here with a fucking script. You know what we're going to do? We're going to sit down, and we're going to chop it up, you know, like gentlemen. And Dave, actually, we always stop at Pizza Maria before we come here and have a bite to eat. And Dave picked up the tab. I'm like, what the fuck? What a gentleman, you know?
Of course.
I got to get you out. Afterwards, we'll hit the North End. Maybe later and grab something. There was, what did I do earlier? Oh, we got a UMass Lowell, is it Amherst? Hockey game tomorrow night I'm supposed to go to. I just went to a Lowell High basketball game tonight. It was awesome. My friend Nils Christensen, his son Colin was playing for Lowell. He plays for Lowell High. He plays football and basketball. I don't know if he plays baseball. I think just football and basketball. And he had a good game. It was a great time. They looked good. They played Taunton. And just after I left there, I grabbed Dave. He was at the barber shop.
Yep.
You see, do you even need a cut? Let's see.
I do need one. I got one before I went to Orlando about 10 days ago, but it's grown in, you know?
Yeah. Got to get them bangs.
Well, it's because of the haircut that I had in the viral video. I was never, you know, they said I had the same barber as you. That was the biggest comment on there. You know, that would got 1,000 likes. You know what I mean? So,
I did it.
But just for the shout out to him, All-Star Barbershop in Lawrence. That's where I usually go. And I take my nephew up there. But they also have a spot in Lowell on High Street, the All-Star 2.
I used to live at 339 High Street with Boo Boo. That was the last place I was living before I went to before I went to Detox in Florida when Mickey took me down to Detox and I got sober. So this St. Patrick's Day, what's today's date? Today the 1st yet? No, 28th of February today is, right? St. Patrick's Day will be 12 years clean and sober.
Congratulations.
Had some ups and downs since it happened, but man, who would have thought, you know, that, you know, I'd have a couple of houses, couple sober houses and a small construction business and a, you know, couple other things going on and, you know, the gifts of sobriety, Dave. You know, I was in a bad way and I look back, you know, usually when it gets close to St. Patty's Day, I always like St. Patty's Day anyway. My father was always a bartender and he always bartended an Irish club, the Gala Club, and my family. And it was always a big deal, you know, everyone getting drunk and fights and you know, corned beef and cabbage. And then we get out of the parade in South Boston, which is the first St. Patrick's Day parade in America, you know, in the country, 1,000%. It's the oldest one in the country. And It's a good time. You know, the people that grew up there, they get sick of it. They're like, oh, you know, a lot of them. But a lot of them still, you know, it's still a good time. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, you get a ton of fucking assholes who get drunk and piss all over the place. And but the parade itself, it's an institution in South Boston, and it's a great time. And the last few years, I've been on a few people's floats. They invited me on their float, so I get to be in it. And, this year I might just run around a little and jump off the float and run around because I like walking. It's such a good time. And when I first got custody of my daughter, she was 6 years old. That was one of the first places I took her was the parade. And now every year since then, she's like, oh, the parade's coming up. And she's 16 and she's still doing it. Now she goes, you know, with her friends, we all go together. And then I kind of do my own thing and she does hers and wanders off. And after the parade, Pat Nee, another South Boston legend, he always has invites me over his house. He has a few guys over his house, and he has like some Irish stew, and you know, it becomes like a cool thing every year. So it's the parade is on the Sunday closest to St. Patrick's Day. This year, it's the day before on the 16th, and the next day, the 17th, is my anniversary. And whenever I get close to my anniversary, and on that day, I talked to Brian Goodman once. He said it to me, and he's like, a lot of reflection on that day. And it's so true. It's exactly what it is. When you get closer to that day, and on that day, you know, you think about everything. You know, you think about when I was fucked up, when I was on the street, when I was calling detox that day. And I remember that St. Patrick's Day when I went to detox. I was driving around and, you know, shooting coke and dope and everything. And it was a cold, rainy St. Patrick's Day that day. And I remember seeing people doing the pub crawls. And I just did a video for a pub crawl, which I got some. That was a good video with the midget, you know. There's always some people Definitely. That fucking hate me for comments. But I got a ton of people that love me. So that's, you know, if you don't get any fucking haters, you're not doing it right, I guess. Because the enemies out there are always with me. But on that day, I remember driving around and seeing everyone doing the pub crawls and walking around. And I'm just looking out the window at them. And I just caught a Class A heroin trafficking case. And I was out on bail, and the cops were all over me. I'd meet somebody, and 2 minutes later, they'd call me. They'd be like, dude, I'd bump into you at Dunkin' Donuts, talk to you for 2 minutes, just random, like not doing a drug deal. And they'd call me a couple minutes later, like, dude, 2 seconds after you drove away, they fucking bundled me, searched me. I'm like, and I wasn't even doing anything anymore. Now I just have a habit, and I'm driving around trying to get off E, and I'm telling the cops, like, hey, man, you got me. Like, I'm out on bail. I'm not doing anything. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to go get some myself so I can feel better. Can you leave me alone? And I remember driving around that day, and I was ready to get on the plane, and Mickey was picking me up in Florida, Mickey Wood, who got me in the rehab. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm definitely going to go to prison on this case. I'm going back. So I was on the methadone clinic, and I was, you know, shooting heroin and coke, Xanax, and I was drinking every day. So it was, you know, like the joke, like, you know, Lev said, like we always say, you know, on everything but roller skates, right? And it was, for the most part, it was, you know, I was on booze, I was on benzos, I was on coke, I was on heroin, I was on methadone on a daily basis. And I remember thinking, I'm going to go to prison and I don't want to detox because they just put you in a cell in there. I mean, now it's different. I guess now they
get you methadone. It's a whole different ball game from what I hear now, you know?
Yeah, they have medicated assisted treatment. But back then it was like, put me in the hole because I wouldn't want to, like Justin, if you're in there, right? And you're in jail and you're in prison, right? And they come in and I'm the new guy and they put me in your cell. I'm going to be throwing up, diarrhea, not sleeping for a month. Like, you don't want to deal with that. And I'm not going to make you deal with it. You know what I mean? I would always, because I've been through it a few times where I detox and prison, cold turkey, I would always just do something like, I'm not locking in the cell, just take me to the hole. So I could just be in a cell by myself for 30 days, you know, because you're not eating, you know, I mean, getting in the shower is a fucking, it's always good to take a hot shower, but when you're so sick like that, you don't want to move. You know, and I remember driving around, seeing everyone doing the pub crawl and thinking, I got to get out of Florida and I got to detox, it's going to be rough, and then come back and get some drugs and tuck it, you know, and take a package. So when I go back to prison, I have some drugs with me to make some money when I'm in there. And that was the whole game plan. It wasn't like I'm going to get sober and I'm going to change my life. That wasn't even on the bingo card. You know, it was just, I'm going to get out here and kick this habit So when I go to prison, I don't have to go through this. I might as well go through it in a nice, cushy fucking rehab, which it was. I mean, they took us to wellness centers. We got massages and what's the thing when they stick the needles all in you?
But you felt the pain. You got the luxury, but you didn't get the medication.
The house.
That's
felt
the thing.
Pain.
You felt the pain.
Victimized, but got no one to blame. House of Pain. Shout out. Yeah, I went through it, and like I said, much rather go through it in a, you know, a Craftmatic bed in detox with the fucking cable with the remote, you know, just laying there dying watching TV than in a cell. Because anybody that has been in jail, prison, anywhere where you're sick like that, there's nothing worse. Like, Justin, if you're sick and you're home, you know, your wife's there, your girl, your fucking... She's making you chicken soup. You know, you throw a couple blankets over you and sweat it out. Get up, go in your bathroom, take a nice hot shower. But when you're in a place like that, a prison, a, you know, a fucking dungeon, there's nothing worse than being sick. You know, when you're home, it's, you know, you don't think of these things because, you know, but it's like being home and being somewhere comfortable is a lot better than being, you know, in a prison cell or a jail cell or, you know, whatever it is, being sick. So, that was my goal. And then my lawyer started fighting this drug trafficking case. And I know I talked about it before, but the Lowell police said they received an email from the state police that I was trafficking heroin, and there was no email. So I'm ready to cop out to 3 years, and can you get me a three in a day? And my lawyer's like, hold on. And, you know, discovery, they got to produce this email. And they kept continuing it. Now I'm like, she's like, I don't think there's a fucking email. She goes, emails are an electronic fingerprint. They don't go away.
No, they do not.
She's like, they got to come up with this fucking email because that's, you know, it's like fruit of a poisonous tree. It's like what they use that to stop you and search you. If that's no good, then whatever they got after that, it's no good. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, I might actually beat this. And next thing you know, I'm fighting for custody of my daughter. And like, you know, just, you know, like I said, the closer I get to that day, I always start thinking about everything, how much everything's changed. You know what I mean? How fortunate I am that I had a friend like Mickey Ward who helped me out and got me down to Florida, because I would have never did it around here, you know. And so St. Patty's Day is a big day. It's a big day for me, you know. And I always have fun at the parade, and I look forward to it, you know. And then after that, who knows? Maybe get on a plane and go somewhere else and celebrate. People are like, you don't drink, you don't do nothing. No, I don't. You know, I don't. But I go out with my friends that are drinking and smoking. And I was talking to someone last night, right? And you do the edibles a little bit, smoking.
I've messed with them. I'll be straight honest. I never really do. But last week,
vacation
down in Universal, nothing like an edible on a 3D ride. Allegedly, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
So
actually the new stuff's a little too intense from what I hear, but
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. You know what? It's not the same. I see someone like yourself with the gifts. Like you remind me of my aunt, someone that saved my life. Like
she's a great person.
You know, she went to jail her whole life, in and out, trafficking drugs.
Yeah.
Then
she was the real
sober.
Deal. She was the real deal.
You know, straight, like, closest thing to, I don't like saying queenpin, because everything she made, she got taken 10 times over. She has a lot more stuff nowadays, personally, for doing the right thing. But she was as real as it gets out there. And she got sober, stone cold, stopped. And, you know, saved my life by showing me, like, the changes she made in her life. And, you know, owning a house and going to, now she works with the homeless and people in early recovery like yourself. And it's like my buddy Hanley, same way, he owns a treatment center. Halloran runs a treatment center. It's like everybody around me, and I was the last one to get it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm lucky I'm alive, to be honest.
She works at the Recovery Cafe in Lowell. They help a lot of people that are in my house. They got a couple of people down there that aren't big fans of mine. I always get that, you know? You always get that.
You're in a quiet taste. That's why. But like you said, if you're not offending them, you're not doing it right, Mikey. That's why I've always liked you.
It's like anything else. I'm not going to say they help a lot of people. That place is great. The Recovery Cafe. People can go in there and they help them with school. And they can go in there and eat. And they
the
got
funding's
computers
incredible
and,
nowadays. Oh, man, they didn't have it in that day, buddy.
The stuff they do. But she works down there and she calls me once in a while and she'll have somebody who needs a bed. But yeah, and her, like, because I knew back then when she was slanging, she was getting bricked. bricks, and she was like, she was doing it, big eights, and you know, the real stuff, you know, not to, you know, get into all that, but my point being is, if you met her today, and like I was talking about earlier, guys
PGA
in my
mom.
Yeah, guys in my sober house, when I say, hey, you're high, they, you know, they don't know me. They just know me as the guy who owns the house, right? They don't know that I am a hardcore, you know, drug addict that actually shot drugs. And, you know, like I look at them like, you know, you're high, you know, and they're like trying to lie to me, because then people say, I can't even picture you running around high because you never see me like that. And that's like her. Yeah, she looks like a PTA mom. Right? What does she got? The Mercedes, the nice house. Yeah,
you would never think.
Yeah, she can even speak a little Spanish, right?
Fluent. Fluent. Yeah, she was married to a Colombian. She was living in Lawrence. I know.
She was doing it.
She had me a call up there. But she was 13. She got so mad when she found out how old he was. I was like, I was 15. I'm like, what's the difference?
You know? Yeah.
But times change. You know what I mean? It's survival of the fittest. And but one thing, everybody that I've seen make money in the drug game, they lost bigger. That's one thing I will say about that. Either from freedom or from the feds just taking it once they acquire enough, you know? Now it's just a whole
once
different ballgame.
Once in a while, you see a few that make it, you know?
A couple have slipped through the cracks. But I'm talking about the real dirty business. The business of plaguing people. There's no one that I know of that made it in the heroin business. I don't know anybody.
No.
Coke, yeah, a couple of people have made it, done the thing, but it's just a shitty way to live. And, you know, it ruins families. I mean, where I grew up, the property is through the roof. The education's through the roof. But the amount of people that died in a square mile where I grew up, insane. The street I grew up on, 3 different houses people died in. There's only 15 houses on the street.
Yeah.
Insane.
Overdoses.
All overdoses. You know what I mean? I mean, Tewksbury probably per capita might have been the hottest hit in the country, I would say, 2012 to 2015. If not, right up there with anywhere. Per capita, up there with Baltimore.
It's funny.
Out of control.
It's funny how, you know, like these neighborhoods in middle America, and these white suburban neighborhoods, how the kids got more screwed up than inner city kids when it came to heroin.
Big pharma.
The OCs. I remember I got out of prison. I was away from 96 to 2000, and I got out, and the first thing I did was wanted to get a couple of these OC-80s and send them home like a gentleman. I've been hearing about them forever. So I missed a big wave of that. You know, maybe it was good. Maybe
I was late to the party, too. I was in college and running around down in Myrtle Beach. My boy was training to be in the PGA. I came back, and all my friends were strung out. I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know, I still fell victim. So
that's when I met Jimmy Dodd in the back of the sheriff's van. He was selling OCs, and I think someone set him up with a cop. Is that what happened?
I think the kid was a god at the time or something of that nature. It was a pretty shitty situation. Jimmy's a great kid.
I met his girlfriend before that, Jamie Sullivan. I was in the back of the another time I was getting locked up. I was in the back of a bus, and this girl, and she was beautiful. I mean, beautiful. She's like, are you Mike Lee? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, holy shit. You know, everyone on the bus is like, well, who's that? And she's like, oh, listen, I know who you are from, you know, this one and that one. She's dropping Richie Gardner's name and this and that, who's another lunatic bank robber. He's like the old school bank robber. I remember once we were getting high in the house, and he had this revolver with a long barrel. It was a .22, right? And he's like, I'm going to rob the bank. He went to rob this bank up in Draken.
He robbed the bank that my girlfriend at the time's mother was working at in Lowell.
Really?
And she thought I did it.
Yeah, it was a Lowell Drake. It was a Lowell Drake in Lyons. It's not even a bank anymore near Market.
Well, the one that I'm talking was on Main Street in Lowell.
Oh, so he come back.
Near the Janus.
He come back, and I'm like, what happened? And he goes, I went up to the teller, and I was telling her, you know, I'm robbing the bank. And she's like, what? What? He goes, so finally, I pulled it out, and it was this long barrel. And then she just screamed at the top of her lungs. He goes, and there was like 5 of the people in there in line. He goes, so I just spun around and said, everybody down. I'm like, oh my God, like you took it to that level, huh? And he hopped over the thing, and it was madness. So she's like,
I think he's doing good. I sold him a cell phone when he got out. Is he still free?
He's back in on a home invasion.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Sounds about right. But he's a good dude. I like him. I did sell him an iPhone when he got out of
last
year.
He did 13 years on those banks, and he robbed a bunch of them. There was a string of them. And then he escaped from the sheriff's van.
Is he truly the reason for the box?
I don't know.
Or is that an urban legend?
Might be an urban legend. I think those are invented. But But so I met the girl in the sheriff's van, and she's like, hey, my boyfriend's going to be coming in at Bill Ricka next week. You know, can you look out for him? I know you know a lot of people. And he come in like 3 days later. And that's when I met Jimmy Dodd, another good Tewksbury kid. And he was, you know, he was and coming off those oxys, I was never on them like that. I was always a heroin guy. But I guess the detox from just the pills was like
vicious.
It's
the worst thing ever. It's worse than anything in the world.
Well, the methadone's going to be the worst and the Suboxone. Yeah. But you know, it was a bad one. And he came in and he was skinny as a rail. And he went through it and I looked out for him and got him some stuff. But Matty Pariseau was in that too. And Matty, you know, Matty made quite a name for himself. I know before Matty passed, a lot of stuff happened with him. And people didn't like him and saying, you know, whatever, I'm not going to sully someone's name who's no longer with us.
I got
a
novel of love for him and his family. His mom just passed. She was one of the greatest.
His father was in the paper the other day.
I didn't see it.
Drunk driving, fifth offense.
Fucking great guy, too. Union guy right there. Iron worker his whole life. You know,
yeah.
Great dude.
I just saw the name, and it was Pariseau, and it was like 64 years old or something like that. That's Matty's father. I remember Matty was always beefing with him, and did Matty rip his eye out or something crazy?
He grew up two streets over from me, so.
Yeah, so, but long story short, Jimmy come in then for the oxys, and everybody back then was either selling them or, you know, robbing pharmacies or going to Florida with the doctors and coming back. And that created, there's movies about it, right? A whole wave, yep. A whole wave of new addicts. Like, I used to tell people when I grew up, when I was a kid, the neighborhood I was in was, it was all, like Lower Middlesex Street, where I used to be by the project, was all prostitutes and junkies. Lowell was like, it was pretty crazy in the early 80s, right?
So pretty crazy? It was nuts, dude. I went to the Varnum in kindergarten and they got me the fuck out of there because some prostitute got raped in front of my house and I asked my dad what raping a hooker was and he was like, we got to get him back to Tewksbury. You know, it was crazy. It was a different read out there.
It was really bad then, but my point being is
crack
there was
a little hard in the 80s.
There was no young junkies. When I grew up, it was like, you know,
he shoots heroin.
Like,
old.
You know, old school junkie. Oh, he just got out of Walpole. Like, it was just this hardcore.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, AIDS and Walpole is what I equated heroin.
It was these hardcore older guys. Oh, they're heroin addicts. And you know, I could sit here and name them off. When I was like 13, 14, 15, these older guys that were known that did heroin, you know? And there was never kids, you know, 16, 21, 18, 19, dying of heroin overdoses in the early 80s. Never. Zero. I mean, you know, I don't want to say zero. Someone will say, my brother died when he was, you know, 18 in 1982. But, I mean, it was a very, very rare
thing. The statistics
thing.
Don't lie. Go look at them.
It's it was very, very rare. And it was definitely, you know, Big Pharma and the OCs that, I mean, those motherfuckers that profited off that, man. You know, it's terrible. And, you know, it was just a terrible thing that it turned this into this. And now, you know, now it's still happening. And now you look and it's this fentanyl and people, it's such a roll of the dice doing it. It's just like, why would someone want to start doing it when you know? Like, you know, when they didn't know and you're like, here, try a perk. And you're
well, the
high.
Thing that gets me, Mike, to be honest with you, not to cut you off, it's really bothers me, is the people that put it into drugs that kids take. That's fucking poisoning. I'm about as liberal as it gets, if that's, I don't like to misuse the word liberal, but I'm as open-minded or whatever you want to say about drug dealing and stuff like that as anybody. If people want to do what they want to do, let them do what they want to do. But giving the kid drugs and putting fentanyl into any other drug, and that's poisoning. That's the same as if you drip rat poison in a soda. In my book, some guy with four kids, he sniffs a line and dies because some scumbag wants to stretch his product out. You know what I mean? It's terrible. I don't equate that with drug dealing. I call that poisoning. And they should put laws on the books that if you put that shit in stuff that it's not supposed to be in, it's the same as if you stuck it in your fucking water bottle right there. What's the difference?
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm being a little extreme about it, but I actually have heard of cases of people dying didn't know what they were taking.
I saw a thing once. They raided some store. It was in like Albany, New York, and there was like fentanyl in like the edibles. It was some like knockoff weed shop.
It happens.
And I'm like, what fucking sick,
scumbag,
demented, twisted fuck? Like, hey, yeah, let's put fentanyl in it. Maybe they'll get hooked and they'll keep coming back. Is that the idea behind putting it in stuff like that? I hear it's in crack.
I don't know. It's cheap. It's the economics of it. It's dirt fucking cheap.
Yeah, they give it away. They got to cut it 100 to 1 or 20 to 1 or something like that.
That's what it is. It all comes down to math. And then people that aren't real drug dealers, they're just idiots who want to try to play drug deal and make a little money. sprinkle it in something, thinking, oh, I'm going to get everyone hooked and come back. No, you just killed a bunch of people because you're a scumbag, is what really happens. And I didn't think that happened that much until I started seeing it on the Instagram and stuff, like 13, 14-year-old kids thinking they're taking Xanax and they're taking a pill. And I'm like, damn, that could have been any kid that I grew up with. All A student, politician's kid, don't matter. You know what I mean? You're just a kid, and it scares me. I mean, I got to... the two people I care about the most are in high school right now, you know, freshman and senior, you know, my niece and my nephew. And another fact about my aunt, her and Jamie Sullivan were the only freshman four-year varsity cheerleaders from Tewksbury.
Really?
Jamie Sullivan and my aunt, yes.
Jamie doing good now? I haven't seen her in a while.
Last I seen of her was she was, and I hope the best from her. She's my buddy Hanley that has a treatment center's cousin, so I look at her like family. I've always got nothing but love for her.
No, she's cool. She's a good person, you know. Been through a lot. But Dave, anything else you'd like to
interject? I just want to say I really respect Justin, you for having me up here. You got a nice little setup. I like it. Multi-purpose. I really miss the entertainment stuff. Just from always being on the business side of things, it's so different. And what I meant with the word salad today, and I was talking like a buffoon, it was, I actually have a few things that I'm proud of nowadays, and I didn't have that. You know, I love what I do for work. I've always loved my family, but at least I know they don't worry that I'm going to die tonight. So it's like, but you know what? I never have, and I never will keep my mouth shut because I think I'm going to offend somebody because I don't try to offend anybody with malice. So if you're offended by what I say, all right, sorry, but I don't mean any harm by it. So if you don't like it, too bad. And I'm glad you had me up here. And I see some big things coming out of you this year. Your name's been ringing bells. I've seen you collaborate with a lot of people I got a lot of respect for, a lot of really talented people. And, you know, you got a story, you got a brand, and hopefully you and Justin can take this operation to the next level.
Yeah. Thank you.
And fuck Sean Hicks, too.
Yeah.
Openly.
Yeah. Thank you.
No one knows you, because if they did know you, you fucking redheaded mutant. Even the lawyer you talk about, I won't say him by name because I know who he is. He don't like you. So stop mentioning his name on podcasts. Stop mentioning good people's name. You know, people who actually did real things in life, because everybody knows each other out here. Nobody knows you. You're like the only person from Massachusetts that no one fucking knows except when you're in PC for beating women.
Right? I think that just gets him going. Like, he just likes it. People keep talking about him.
So yeah, but you know
I
what?
I can't believe Ian Pick
I had to address it because no, I actually spent some time, you know, putting a kibosh on it. Because like you said, thank the Lord there's no movie. And you know, people like Rudy Youngblood who exposed you for the weirdo you are. You know what I mean? Yeah. And everybody else. Because that's the only one I actually said that's met you. That's why I mentioned his name. It's pretty weird. That's the only person I've ever seen who met you besides people who claim they've seen you in PC. So that's it. You know, I hate to end on that note, but I had to mention Mr. Wick.
No,
you know?
Yeah, I get it. On another note, last night we had the launch party for the In Boston magazine. I should have brought one up here. You could have put a picture of it on your thing, but
it bring it next time.
Yeah,
hanging
out. All right, yeah. I got it. I'll bring it for you. And it was a great time. Anne Marie Fauci and them and Susie Light. Is it Susie Light? Matt Light's wife. Great people. Met her and her daughter last time when you had meal at Strega. Nick Verano hosted it and. Jesus, I think I'm going to have to go throw something in the hat for Nick because the bill for that party must have been up there. I think
astronomical.
I think it was on the sleeve, actually. Nick is the best, and we had a great time, and that's where they did the photo shoot. And last night it was at Cavo in Boston, and right in front of Suffolk Superior Court there, One Center Plaza. What a cool place, a nice vibe, and it was a great time, man. It was just really cool. It was cool to be a part of something like that, and. I was real, real thankful about that. The magazine's out now. And I think that's about it, Justin. I was supposed to... Oh, yeah, Lep. Lep stole something today. Lep was just on the podcast the other night, so his counselor gave him a rubber band to put on his wrist and said, every time you go to steal something, you'll see this rubber band and it's going to stop you.
Didn't stop him, did it?
Didn't stop him. The rubber band. I think the only thing around his wrist that's going to stop him from stealing isn't made of rubber. You know, but we'll get back to that later. Justin, yeah, thanks again. Number 40 in the books. We got to keep churning these out, you know?
Number 40.
And you got to send me the fucking clips. All right. If you're wearing a mask out there, the fresh air's gonna get you. He always shoots from the hip for iced coffee, take a sip, toss it.